Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Mindshift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, always excited to be here for another Mindshifting Monday. Welcome to each of you that are listening online at mindshifttalkradio.com, as well as those of you that are listening via Blog Talk. And I can't forget about those of you that are listening by phone tonight. Thank you and welcome to Mindshift. For those of you that are new to Mindshift Talk Radio, this show is for you. It is for individuals like us that are looking to grow and excel in every area of our lives. So whether you're looking to grow financially, physically, spiritually, professionally, this is the show that you need to be connected to every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. Tonight we're going to have another amazing mind-shifting conversation. So before we even get started, I would encourage you to go ahead and grab a pen and a piece of paper, a crayon, whatever you need to do to take some notes tonight and to join in on this conversation. We definitely encourage you to participate. The chat room is now open. And if you have any questions tonight, any comments, any concerns, feel free to call us at area code 347-989-0206. Also, you can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. But without any further ado, I do want to introduce you to my co-host, my partner in crime, and my partner in success, Miss Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren. Hey, sis. Happy Mindshift Monday.
I'm taking it you didn't hear me say Happy Mindshift Monday to you, huh?
I did not hear it. Lady over there giggling. We haven't even introduced her. She's over there giggling. Listen to this.
I'm sorry.
But I'm assuming you said it. We are so goofy. I promise we have issues. Okay, so
girl,
again, let's rewind. Take it back about 30 seconds. What's going on, crazy lady?
Happy Mind Shift Monday.
Thank you. Happy Mind Shift Monday to you. That was lovely.
All right. Thank you very much.
How's your Monday going?
It's gone. What you talking about? No. I finally reached the best part, and that is Mind Shift Talk Radio on Monday nights with you.
Yes, indeedy. That was a politically correct answer, right?
Hey.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for tuning in. You know, sometimes we just get silly. We just can't help it. It is Monday. I mean, geez Louise, we have to just kind of soften the blow a little bit. For some people, they just dread Monday. And as we say, we look forward to Monday because we get to be here with each other and we get to be here with you. And we're always excited about the guests we have, especially the little giggler that you hear right now that will be joining us shortly. She's not a guest. She's not new to Mindshift Talk Radio. She's our sister. She's our friend. She's our expert. She's probably my counselor and a whole bunch of other things as well. So you're going to hear from her shortly. But before we get into tonight's topic, we always like to provide a recap from our previous week. So just in case you may have missed last week's show, you can always go back and check out the replays online at mindshifttalkradio.com. And last week, sis, we talked about weathering life storms, and I think that was another interesting show.
Can you stand the rain? And it was one that was right on time, too, that's for sure.
Not like my snap. I like my snap. I was trying to catch the beat. But, yeah, last week was definitely right on time. I mean, anyone can relate to the show. We talked about how to deal with the challenges. Of course, you know, We talk about storms being the metaphor for trials and challenges in life. And so we talked about how to go about handling different obstacles or challenges that may present themselves, because we know it's inevitable, it's going to happen, it's life. And so we talked about the highs and the lows, and not so much about just being able to survive the storms, but kind of how being able to predict the storms as well, and also being able to grow as a result of the storm. So it was a very interesting mind-shifting conversation. It was really an opportunity for us to be very transparent, which we tend to do week after week, but it was more on a personal note last week. And so we just shared our perspective and also shared some of our experiences, praying that that will bless you and help you to continue the conversation and to continue to search yourself and search your own heart and just to be open and transparent and honest with yourself. That's really what the discussion was about last week. I'm really trying to just keep it surface. I don't want to go too much into detail because that would take all the fun out of it if we tell you too much about what we discussed. So we definitely encourage you to go back and check out that replay. And, again, you can find that on the website at mindshifttalkradio.com. So do you think I'm missing anything, sis? Because I don't want to spend too much time going over last week's stuff. I'm ready to get into this week's stuff. I'm excited about this show.
Nah, they can catch it on the replay.
Right. Okay. So it's true. Got to be here. You got to get it. All right. So this week, like I said, our guest this week is not new to Mindshift. It's almost weird calling her a guest. I think she's going to be our other, we're going to call her our honorary co-host on Mindshift Talk Radio.
Da, da, da.
Yes. So she's had a promotion and she's been here, you know, this is probably, this is the second segment. This is the second part of our new small business series / workshop, entrepreneurial workshop. And she was here last month where we started back with the show, What Type of Preneur Are You? And we had over 1,000 people, I think almost 2,000 people listen to that show and download that show last month. So that was a phenomenal show. And so this is a continuation. This is about part two of that conversation. So you guys are in for a great treat tonight. We have none other than the business plan lady herself, small business expert and consultant, Sherry Darden, joining us tonight from Mindshift Talk Radio. So welcome back, Miss Sherry.
Thank you. Thank you. So happy to be here. We were talking about competing between talking about being an entrepreneur and the elections,
right,
if you will. And I've got it muted, but I'm looking at the faces there, and I'm like, okay, competition. This is great competition. This is competition at its best, saying, you know, why my product is going to be better than yours. So I'm just going to be glad when it's over. I'll be glad when it's over. We can all go back to being nice again.
You can say that again.
Well, we can go back to being honest and truthful again, because, you know, right now everyone's trying to be politically correct and not say anything to step on anyone else's toes right now. It's weird.
Well, some yes and some no. Some are like, let me find the 11th toe and the corns and the bunions and all of that good stuff. But, you know, it makes for bad business, which, you know, I'm always, again, as a business plan lady, looking at the business applications of things, if you will. So, but everything for a season.
Well, like I said, Sherry, I mean, last month's show was awesome. Nonetheless, you know, we don't expect anything different tonight. No pressure.
No pressure.
But, you know, I think you whet so many appetites last month, you know, going back to the basics. And so I know tons of people are going to go back and listen. Like you said, a lot of people are caught up in the elections and debates and so forth right now. But I'm certain that we're going to have a crazy amount of downloads of this show after tonight. So we're just going to go ahead and get started with the show. Just want to remind the listeners, you know, for those of you listening by phone or just tuning in, you're listening to Mindshift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren. And tonight we're joined by the small business expert, business plan lady, Miss Sherry Darden. And so if you have any questions, if you have any comments, this is your opportunity to get free consulting by the expert tonight. So you want to give us a call, you can call in at area code 347-989-0206, or the chat room is open. Feel free to post your comments or your questions in the chat room. But Sherry, we're going to go ahead and get started. So where do you want to start tonight?
Well, I was listening to the two of you recapping last week, and Sorry I wasn't able to chime in on it live as I was going down I-10 going from Houston to Beaumont. You know, I'm a paid vagabond, so I was on the road and was not able to. And I was trying to figure out, Garmin took me 10 miles down the road the wrong way. So I was a little preoccupied and trying to get to my hotel room. So I wasn't able to listen in live, but one of the things that caught my ear as you were talking about, you know, introducing and getting started and recapping of last week, and you were talking about being open and transparent. And and it's really something that kind of caught my ear, because when we were talking last month about what kind of preneur you are, and as we start talking about today, you know, what kind of business you should start, it starts with being open and transparent. It really does. And one of the things that I've battled with every day as someone who's been self-employed full-time since 1999 is we always worry about what others are thinking and what we think others think we should do or say or act, which is, you know, kind of like what we're looking at for the elections and the debates and that kind of thing. We need to be really open and transparent with ourselves when we start our business, because it's our business. It is our business. Nobody's going to live with it 24/7 but us. So, you know, we really shouldn't take into effect too much about what we do want to take in somewhat, but not what necessarily what somebody else thinks we should do. You know, just because, you know, I know my mother's peach cobbler, her double-decker peach cobbler that you want to smack your granny on, just because I'm good at that, you know, and you tell me, hey, Sherry, you should be in the pie business. Yeah, that's a compliment, but I need to be open and transparent to myself. Do I really like to bake 24/7? You know, if I like to have, you know, beautiful fingernails, you know, probably having a bakery is not necessarily going to be the thing, because you can't have them, you know, for food handling reasons. So just kind of use that as an example of, I think it's a really great transition of what you did last week, you know, being open and transparent. So really good thing that you guys set them up for today.
Definitely. Sis, do you have any comments before we get started?
I love how she's already tying it in and that whole you should be in business for yourself thing. I can't wait to hear what else she has to say, because I'd be like, not me. Nope. I'm not even the boss of my own self, so no, that might not be for me. And I can't have my nails either, so I'm ready to get right into it.
All righty.
Okay, well, I think what we wanted to talk about today, and I'm going to let you talk over, you know, questions and stuff, because you may have had some questions from other listeners or questions yourself about, you know, the pros and cons of being an entrepreneur and what kinds of business. So I'm going to let you take over, because I know how to take over, so I'm going to be quiet.
Well, last month, you know, we had the questionnaire that you shared with your clients in terms of how to decide whether or not it's even in your best interest to go into business for yourself, or maybe you just want to be that preneur, you know, a mompreneur or a preneur in your current occupation. And so we want to take the shift now and say, okay, we've already gone through the questionnaire. We had our initial consulting with you or consultation with you, and now we've decided, yes, we want to go in business. Now the question is, now that we've decided we want to go in business, how do we decide what type of business to go into? And I think this is key, because especially here in the Atlanta area, everyone talks about they're a business owner, they're self-employed, and I think many people have this idea that it's been – What would it be like, glamorized in a sense for you to be able to, and that's not the word I'm looking for, but, you know, for you to say that you're in business for yourself. You can go on Vistaprint and print up 100 cards for free and say I'm in business, and it's cute now. But let's be real, you know, so how do we determine what's the best type of business to get started and how we go about doing that? That's where we really want to go tonight.
Okay. Well, first let me burst the bubble. It's not glamorous. There's absolutely nothing glamorous about being an entrepreneur, about being self-employed. It is gratifying. It is something that is exciting, but it is not glamorous. I remember my very first concert. I went with my sister. My mother made her take me many, many moons ago, and it was Earth, Wind, and Fire. Little girl, Earth, Wind, and Fire. And, of course, you know, you sit and you look at the concerts today, you look at the concerts back then or a play, and you sit down and you show up, and all you see is the curtains that are, you know, that are opening up, and you're seeing the glitz and the glamour and that kind of thing. People don't think about the preparation behind it that it takes. You know, they don't see that, you know, your flight got canceled, and so instead of you flying first class, now you've got to rent the only car that's available, and it's a, you know, it's a Geo Metro. No music, make those anymore. And you've got to drive 6 hours, you know, to the next city. And again, I'm not trying to discourage anybody. What I'm trying to do is put a realistic picture on it. One of the things my mom used to say to me, she says, your friends tell you, your enemies don't. You know, your friend will tell you, you know, that's not the best dress for you. It's not that flattering for you. Your enemies are telling you, oh, girl, you look good in that dress, and be still. Let me hold a picture. Let me take a picture and put it on Instagram or put it on Facebook, you know, and everybody's laughing at you. So I just wanted everybody to take a whole look at what it is as far as entrepreneurship. And so, you know, you said, okay, I'm ready to bite the bullet. I'm ready to go, Sherry. I'm encouraged. I want to go ahead and start my business. And there are lots of types of businesses. So when we say entrepreneur, it can mean lots of things. You know, an entrepreneur can be anything from, I was a really bad auntie. I'm called Auntie by my sister's kids. Really bad auntie. Mm-hmm. Auntie waited until Saturday afternoon to send her niece her birthday card. So Auntie had to spend more money on shipping it than the card was worth. You know, put money in it. She's sending it FedEx. And I say that because I was standing behind a young lady who had sold a baseball bat on eBay. And so she was standing in line, and I think she was kind of discouraged about the cost of shipping that baseball bat because it was eating up her profit. You know, and so, again, we kind of look at the glamour side of it is, yeah, we get that sign from eBay saying, Christine, you know, you've got money, but all the prep that goes behind it. So I want to kind of touch on the different types of businesses that you have a choice of going into. And I think a lot of times it has to do with what your comfort level is. And what I mean by your comfort level is, what is your comfort level of doing everything yourself? And so that goes from having a storefront, you know, we call it a brick and mortar. In the banking industry, which means you have a storefront where, you know, you open it up and you're open from 9 to 5 or whatever the situation is. You could be a home-based business, you know, where you get up in your, you know, fuzzy pajamas, you go get your cup of coffee and tea, and you're in business. Or it may be a brick-and-mortar type store that's a franchise, if you will. And a franchise is like a McDonald's or a Wendy's or a Subway or depending on the area of country that you live in, there is a store, or the retail store called, I think it's called Plato's Closet, where you go in. That's a franchise. Those are business owners, but it's a franchise. And what that franchise is that you're paying a certain amount of money to McDonald's, Wendy's, Subway, Plato's Closet, a certain amount of money to use their name. And so sometimes it can cost more than you starting your own business. But the benefit to it is buying into a lot of the franchises, you're also purchasing the process. So if you don't want to just go out there in uncharted territory and learn how to, you know, register a business name and market and hire and find your vendors and all of that good stuff, well, franchises will do it for you. So one of the first things I always ask is, you know, if you were to own a company, you know, how much operational detail would you be comfortable handling? You know, how much would you be handling? Would you want direct control over everything from start to finish? You know, are you okay with delegating a little bit of it? Or do you really want to delegate most of the day-to-day administrative thing? So if you are good with doing everything from start to finish, then, you know, having your own brick-and-mortar store is good for you. You know, you want kind of a little bit of control and then maybe delegate some of it off to someone else. You know, maybe a franchise or maybe buying an existing business could be for you where, you know, you've gone down to your favorite restaurant, you've gone down to your favorite shop, and you love this place and only come to find out, you know, you're talking to the owner and they're saying, I'm ready to go fishing. I'm ready to retire. I'm ready to close shop. And you go, wait, you know what? I've always wanted to have my own business. This place is great. I come in here all the time. I come in the door and it's always busy, why don't I buy this business from you? So it's not quite like starting over because you don't have to build up the business name and that kind of thing. So you've got a little bit of the work done for you, you know, so you have those options starting from the very scratch, you know, just starting down with a piece of paper and pencil and starting from the very start, maybe purchasing an existing business, maybe just starting out small as a home-based business or franchise, which is, it's almost kind of like a, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it's almost like just add water, you know, because the process for a McDonald's down the street is going to be pretty much the same process as a McDonald's 500 miles down the road. The process is the process is the process.
Okay.
So that would be one of the first things that I would kind of think about is, you know, how much control do you like? How much responsibility would you like to have on your shoulders? And if you're good with being a trailblazer, then Godspeed and go ahead and start that business from ground up. But if you need a little bit of help and you like structure and you said, you know, I don't want to go out on a trailblazing. I want to do something that I already know I'm going to be assured that's going to work. And a franchise would probably be best for you.
Now, what are some of the challenges? Like, I know that I've looked at some franchises before, and you're right. It's more so of that cookie-cutter approach, so it seems like it's easier to get started in a franchise because so much is already done for you, especially in terms of the marketing and the branding, I could see. But what are some of the challenges? You know, why would someone not want to go into the franchise business?
Control. Just exactly what I said, control. Know that if you're going to do a franchise, they are going to tell you what your hours of operations are.
Okay.
So if you know that you want to be off on evenings, you want to be off on Sundays and holidays, probably operating and purchasing a McDonald's franchise is not going to be for you because they dictate to you what the hours of operation are. That's the one thing, you know, when you travel, when you see the Golden Arches, everybody is happy, you know, because they're open 7 days a week. They're open during the holidays. I mean, I've been on the road on a holiday and I'm going, okay, where am I going to eat? You know, I need something. And when I see a McDonald's, I am pretty 99.9% sure that that business is going to be open. Again, control as advertising. If you notice, you don't see very many local McDonald's advertising their particular location. That's part of your franchise fee. McDonald's does the advertising for you, which is on a national level. So there's not a whole lot of room for, you know, I'd like to run my own contest or, you know, I'd like to have my own special kind of hamburger. It's not going to happen. It's going to be strictly by what they dictate to you because, again, that's what you're buying. You're buying the process. You're buying, we've been there, we've done it, we've tried it, and we want you to go by these guidelines. So there's very little room for individual creativity, if you will. So that would be one of the cons of owning a franchise.
Okay. And I'm asking a lot of questions. I guess I'll reveal why later about the franchise.
That's okay.
I considered it before, but are there any particular franchises that you would normally suggest? I guess maybe the more common ones that you would see women going into or single parents, any of those that come to mind?
It really is going to be by personal preference. Now, most of the franchises that I mentioned to you, with the exception of Plato's Closet, is food and beverage. But you've got janitorial, you know, janiking. A lot of your janitorial services are going to be franchises. Most of your tax preparation places, you know, with the exception of H&R Block and Jackson Hewitt, are franchises. You know, I've helped a lot of people get into it. I think his name is Colbert. Tax is a very popular one. Going back to food and beverage, so let's say you like food and beverage and you like the fast food, but, again, you'd like to be home, you know, late evenings and you want to be home on Sundays with your family. You want to, that's your day of worship. Then probably you would choose something like Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is not open on Sundays.
Right.
And they're not open late. So those would be kind of some of the things that you would look into. As far as female, I don't, now not to say that there isn't, but no franchise comes to mind for me with the exception of, and the name escapes me. The second part of it is called Keepers. And what they do is they are in-home care, non-medical in-home care for the elderly. So if you've got a mom who needs to, you know, you need to make sure that, you know, her meal is warmed up and, you know, someone can just sit with her and maybe even help her bathe or brush her teeth or comb her hair, that would be one of those. And that's a really popular franchise that's coming up because, you know, we're living longer and we're having to take care of parents a lot more.
Right.
Oh, not Promise Keepers. I'm sorry, it escaped me. But that is one that I have seen in probably in the last 4 or 5 years that has become very popular.
Comfort Keepers.
Comfort Keepers. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll send you the check.
PayPal, baby.
PayPal.
Thank you for that. And so, you know, there's lots and lots of franchises up. Probably about 8 months ago, I helped a gentleman get a franchise going where they actually finance medical and dental work.
Hmm.
You've got a lot of people because of today's times where they may have medical, but they don't have dental. And even if you have dental, instead of the insurance company really covering a lot, everything is cosmetic. So if you want, you know, you want braces or you want a bridge or that kind of thing, it's considered quote-unquote cosmetic, and it's not covered. And so a lot of people weren't getting those types of procedures because it wasn't covered under insurance and they couldn't afford it. Well, this is a third party that goes in and finances it. So if you were to go into a dentist and you didn't have dental insurance, this third party would come in and finance it so that the dentist could still play the good guy and then be able to offer you services that you would not have normally been able to afford. I mean, so there's just about anything that you're seeing right now in business, there's probably some type of franchise that's available that's the one done the process and is selling it. But they're not all created equal, and it's not a guarantee either.
That's franchises are not guaranteed.
Yeah.
Financing teeth is interesting. I mean, can they repo the dental work? Like they can. You know, can
they're going to take your implants out. You're going to walk around with tooth.
Right.
Well, it helps the dentist. It helps the doctor pay more attention to helping you than trying to play collection agency too. You know, because it becomes a very uncomfortable thing where, you know I've got 4 fillings that need to be done, and I've only done 2, and I haven't paid you, so I'm going to walk around, with 2 holes in my mouth on the other side. So it kind of helps the process there a little bit.
Wow. Now, when one is deciding, when individuals are looking, when you're talking to people and they decide, you know what, this is what I want to do, I want to go into a franchise, what do you normally advise them to do in terms of preparation? What do they need to get together before they actually go out and start an application process, I guess, for a franchise?
I want them to do something very, 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 very technical. And that's walk into the franchise that they want to purchase and talk to that current franchise owner. And what I mean by that is if they want to open up a McDonald's on the south side of town, go talk to a McDonald's owner on the north side of town. Not necessarily someone they're going to be in direct competition with, but ask them what they like and what they don't like. Ask them how much help that franchisor gives them. Like I said, not all franchises are created equal. It's become a very lucrative way for companies to make money, cash flow. And I've seen people come into my office in tears going, I've just spent $25,000 on this franchise and all they want to do is collect money from me. They won't help me with marketing. They won't help me with advertising. You know, they've gone out of business, but they still want money from me, that type of thing. So find out, you know, again, what kind of help are they getting? What's the good and the bad? You know, do they help with collections? Do they help you with managing? Do they teach you how to manage? Do they teach you how to manage inventory? So not just take my money, but are you going to help me be successful?
Right.
So that would be probably the first thing that I would do. The second thing that I would probably ask on a very elementary level is, if you're going to buy a franchise, what is your guaranteed territory?
Okay.
Because other than a McDonald's or a Wendy's, most types of business cannot sustain direct competition down the street. I mean, you go to New York, honestly, truly, if you go to New York, you can find a McDonald's literally on every corner. But there's enough people to be able to, you know, satisfy or be able to go in and patronize all of those McDonald's and survive. So you want to make sure that they're just not selling, just to be selling franchises, that they're not going to sell competition for you. So then both of you go sinking down, because now you've got two Plato's closets within three blocks of each other on that. So you want to check and see what kind of territory that you're going to be guaranteed by purchasing that franchise. So those would be the two preliminary questions. And then also two costs. You know, what's the cost? Because some of them can be very, very, very expensive, but you are looking at it to be in it for the long haul. So, I mean, it can be quite expensive, but, you know, if you're talking over the next 10, 15 years, it's not necessarily, won't be quite as bad. So those would probably be the top things I would consider if you were thinking about purchasing a franchise.
All righty. Well, we'll keep it moving. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren. Tonight, we're joined by the business plan lady, Ms. Sherry Darden. And this is part two in our small business series. And tonight, we're talking about what type of business do you need to go into, or what type of business is the best option for you. And so Sherry's just been doing, just blessing us, basically, by helping us to ask ourselves the appropriate questions and to be honest with ourselves to make sure we're going about business the right way. I love how you started at the beginning, Sherry, you know, just being completely honest that there's nothing really glamorous about being an entrepreneur. There is some tough work in there, and your nails may get chipped on some days and so forth. And so it's important for us to be realistic about what it means to be an entrepreneur and make sure that we're ready to take that step. So I know we spent a lot of time talking about the franchise piece. I had a lot of questions around the franchise piece, and we'll probably come back to that later. I just don't want to take too much time with that because we're already like halfway through the show. So I'll let you go ahead and just pick up where you left off and then just ask some more questions later.
Okay. Picking up where I left off, what, on franchise or just on
with the questions you would ask yourself when you're having your consultation with your client?
I know, one thing for me, like the whole franchise piece doesn't really appeal to me necessarily.
Okay. Then if
but I know franchise... I'm pretty sure I want to own a business. I know I want to own a business.
Okay. So franchise is out, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Now, here would probably be the next step of, do you want to have, once again, a brick and mortar? Do you want to have a storefront? Or would you be more comfortable with a home-based business? And sometimes that question can be better answered with, are you wanting to do this full-time at the very beginning? Or are you wanting to do it part-time? And also, too, how much money are you willing to invest initially? Because there could be some types of businesses where you, at, you know, long range in the future, you see yourself with a boutique. Let's say it's retail, and you see yourself with a boutique. But right now, you've only got maybe one or two pieces, and let's say you're designing it yourself. So maybe you only have one or two pieces, or you may only want to start with skirts, because skirts are your forte right now, and that's all you want to deal with. Maybe at that point in time, maybe you have just a home-based business, which could mean you could have a internet business. So you've got a, you know, a virtual storefront, if you will. So that could possibly help you figure out where do you want to start. And I always want to say, when you think about a business, I do an exercise with my clients in my business plan class, and I do some workshops with women, and I call it Back to the Future. And what I mean by Back to the Future is I have them do an exercise, and it's painful. It's absolutely painful. It was painful for me. It took me 3 days to do it. And that exercise is introduce yourself to you 3 years in the future. Now, say that again. Introduce yourself to you 3 years in the future. And with the mindset of having a business and with a business, but I want you to introduce yourself with your life as a whole. I think we kind of touched on that last week of, you know, what do you want your life to look like? Where do you live? you know, what kind of house do you live? What kind of car do you drive? What does your family structure look like? What does your day-to-day look like? And that will help you, again, figure out where do you want to, where do you want to start? When I did my first exercise, I introduced myself. I had just gone to Charleston, South Carolina for the first time and absolutely fell in love and found a house that I wanted to live in. I talked about what it looked like, what it smelled like, and what I mean by that. I was like, I had my own cook, and I was talking about what the cook was cooking, you know, fresh baked bread and creme brulee and all of that good stuff. But also, too, what was in that introduction was me taking you to my home office, which was over the garage. And I was going to take you to my home office and fire up my computer to show you what my multiple streams of income looked like, where I was coming in, where I was selling products online. I was going to also take you to the post office where I was going to be picking up checks from workshops and those kinds of things. So that would kind of back you into the future. So in order for me to get those multiple streams of income, I had to plan part of my business as public speaking. I had to plan part of my business doing products that I could sell, books and CDs and coaching products and that kind of thing, if that makes sense. So that kind of helped me figure out what my business would look like. There's no right or wrong. My vision is not going to look like yours. So that will kind of help you, you know, figure out, again, what kind of business you're looking for. Do you want to start off full-time? Do you want to quit your day-to-day job and go into it full force? There's nothing wrong with it. I would caution that and just making sure that you've got enough money saved away for rainy days and what ifs and oopsies and all of that good stuff. Or does it look like, you know, I'm going to just do this on nights and weekends and holidays, or I'm going to save up some of my quote-unquote vacation and sick days so that I could, you know, so that I could go out and, you know, go to conferences and do all those kinds of things, you know, while I've still got my pension and still got my vacation and all of that good stuff. So that's kind of where I would probably kind of look at that if franchise is not gonna necessarily be for you. Again, no right or wrong. No right or wrong whatsoever. Mm-hmm.
Right. Sis?
I'm just sitting here thinking.
Okay,
so definitely not the franchise. And what do I want to look like? You're hungry. I didn't say fries. I want to introduce myself to me in 3 years. And that helps. That helps me understand kind of where I want to be. So I know what I want to be doing in 3 years, and that's definitely more than likely in business for myself. So, okay, I'm getting there. You're helping me, Sherry. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. And here's also, too, you know, again, when you're thinking about that 3 years in the future, really sit down and think about it. And you may have to do 15, 20 different revisions. Again, what does your life look like? What does it look like? I remember when I first came out and started working for myself full time, of course, a lot of times what we do is we will tend to migrate our business in what we are comfortable with or what our corporate profession has been. You know, mine has always been in tax and accounting and all of that good stuff. So I said, well, you know, been doing taxes pretty much all my life. Let's come out and do that. Well, that was kind of a mistake that I made, and that I thought I didn't put too much thought into it because I came out and started working for myself during tax season. Well, you know, come April 16th, no more taxes, but Mr. Mortgage Man still wants his mortgage, and Mr. Car Note still wants his car note, so I had to start thinking about things of what I would do, you know, when that season was over with. But when I began to think about other things that I was going to do in my business, I had to look at my lifestyle again, once again. My mom had just been diagnosed with renal failure. So I knew that there were going to be times that I was going to be out of pocket for maybe, let's say, 1 or 2 weeks at a time. So I had to think about what kind of business would be flexible enough for me to be able to close shops when I needed to. If a brick and mortar store, storefront, that was not going to work. It was absolutely not going to work. That's the biggest death to your business, is to walk up and say, you know, we're closed today. You know, it's going to take my nephew to get his hair cut a couple of weeks ago. It was picture day, and it was Tuesday, and I walk up, and it's closed. And it just had a sign that says, you know, we're closed today. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm thinking, okay, I'm done.
Right.
I'm done. The one time I need you, and whatever reason, it could have been a legitimate reason, but these, again, the things you kind of have to think about is, if I'm going to have a storefront, if I need to be out of pocket, then I need to make sure that I hire and manage so that if I'm not there, my business, you know, continues to go on.
Right.
So that would be kind of, that's something that you kind of want to keep in mind. Something else, too, when you think about what kind of business you want to start is, how much money do I want to invest initially?
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, you know, when you're starting nights and weekends, it's a little easier because you don't have that big, massive down payment that you would, let's say, for a franchise. Not all franchises are expensive. I think sometimes there are some franchises you can start for as little as $15,000, and those are usually like your janitor-type businesses, because you're going to buy your own equipment and that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe a virtual or storefront or I hate to say this, or kitchen type business is one you do. I went and got my hair done when I was in Chicago because it needed it so badly, and it was a reference to a lady where she works out of her home. Well, I'm thinking, you know, she's got a salon in her basement. No.
You had the bootleg hairdresser. Bending over the kitchen sink.
It was a bad one. You know, and I'm just like, okay, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, I kind of shook my head and laughed, but I said, you know, and I said, I don't even know her last name, don't want to know her last name. You know, everything's paid by cash, all that good stuff. Now, in all honesty, though, sitting down in her chair, I talked to her, and she said, well, the reason why I couldn't get you the other night is because I'm going to school, because I really want to start a business the right way. And so what she was doing was doing this so that she could save up enough money so when it was time for her to get a salon, for her to do her build out, her permits, all of that good stuff, that she had the cash flow to do it. So kitchen sink, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, Like, I haven't done this since I lived at home, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, she is a woman after my own heart. She's doing whatever it takes to do it the right way. She said, you know, I know I don't have the cash up front right now, so there's no sense in me, you know, overextending myself and, you know, getting a $5,000 a month lease that I can't afford at this point in time. So,
I knew a girl that set up her salon out of her garage. You know,
yes.
It was the same thing. She couldn't afford to get a salon, so her husband converted the garage into her own shop. And I don't know if there was a license or, you know, if there were any building codes or violations or so forth, but I know that she had a nice little salon right out of the garage, had sinks and everything, and it worked for her until she was able, like you said, to get the money to be able to buy or lease some space to have an actual storefront.
Yeah, she actually said she considered that. But the area this particular area in Chicago was not the kind of
where
you would work. Yeah.
Yes.
But again, you know, my hat is off to her on that. And so, you know, also too, I want to say, when you're thinking about starting a business, don't necessarily think about what's fun for you, although that's a good thing to think about because you do have to enjoy what you're doing, but do think about something that when it's not fun, it's still something palatable.
Right.
You know, when
right.
times get tough or things get a little, you know, get a little tight or things get very, very busy, just think about what your good mindset is. If you are not a people person,
sister.
I'm a people person. I just don't like them.
No. She said this the last time. Well, here's my whole point is then maybe the business that you have, maybe your main responsibility isn't necessarily customer service, if that makes sense. It doesn't mean you shouldn't go into that business. know your strengths and know your weaknesses and what you're not good at, then that's where you come in and you find help. You know, most times people will tell me, I love running my business. I hate doing numbers. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to do numbers, but know the importance of it and find someone who will help you do that.
We had someone in on the chat room, Lorna Satchwell, and she said she, or I'm going to go with it was a she, but they said they're interested in starting a business, but they're not good at sales.
Wow.
So would that be like an instance where they would find someone, you know, that could speak to their weakness so that that was their strong point was sales?
Yes.
Or would
no.
you have to kind of do a reframing? Well, you know, what do you consider sales exactly? because you have to sell yourself every day.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I could not have said it better myself. That is something that you will have to get over at some point in time. And here's what I mean. Even if you are not the type of person that wants to stand and sell your widget, let's say you're going to make widgets, even if you're not the person who wants to stand there and sell widgets every day, you have to sell somebody on your business.
Right.
When you go to the bank, convince me that I should loan you $50,000. You're going to have to sell that idea. You're going to have to sell at some point in time. Now, again, not to say that if this is something that you have an aversion to, then just don't go into business. But if you don't believe in your business, who else is going to believe
well.
In your business?
Yeah.
You know, even hiring a salesperson, you got to get them ramped up. You know, you have to ramp up a salesperson saying this is a great product to sell. This is why you should sell it. So even if you don't want to do it face-to-face with someone, at some point in time, you're going to have to you have to do it a little bit. You're going to have to do it a little bit.
Right.
You will. Absolutely. But obviously, if you want to find a salesperson, that's great. You know, I can sell someone else's product. And this is, again, something I war with. I can sell somebody else's product a lot quicker than I can sell my own stuff. It sounds crazy.
That's funny, right?
It comes from, there is a book that I am reading. I'm on my third time reading this book. And it's called The Secrets of a Millionaire Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from our upbringing about money. You know, where money, if you've got money, then you must be prideful. You know, if you're selling something, or we've had bad experiences where we've been strong-armed by someone trying to sell us, so we've got that bad experience. So we kind of have to deprogram ourselves, and that is something I'm working on. That's absolutely something I'm working on.
Definitely. You know? I love that book. I would definitely recommend that everyone read that book, get a copy of that book. I actually went to his the intensive that he has? The Millionaire Mind Intensive, and that was just mind-blowing. But you're right, it made me really look at myself and say, oh, my gosh, like I've had these misconceptions about money for so long, and a lot of this is generational, and we don't even realize it.
Yeah.
You know, we're putting money under the mattress, and, oh, well, Mom did it, and Grandma did it, and, you know, Big Mama did it, so I'm going to do it. We don't even understand why we're doing it. So I definitely recommend that, you know, whether you're looking to go into business for yourself or not, The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind was just, it was amazing. When we talk about mind shifts and paradigm shifts, that's the book to do it right there.
Absolutely. The friend that introduced me to the book is now created his own group. And they're getting together once a month, and they're doing one chapter a month because, you know, there's exercises that you have to do. And there's mantras that you have to say. And so they're actually getting together and doing that. And because it was something he said to me, he asked me why wasn't I doing a bunch of things that I was going to do for my business. And the first thing I said, because I don't have the money. And he's such a sweet person. He said, may I suggest a book that I want you to read for me? He didn't say, girl, you screwed up in the head or anything. I mean, he did it in a very nice way. And, you know, I was reading it on the airplane on the way back from McAllen, Texas. And it was, you know, poor people think you can't. No, poor people think one or the other. Rich people think both. You know, people say, well, you can't have both. You either have to choose this or this. So, again, when you're thinking about that business, what I'm saying, and I didn't say you have to choose. I just say start with. Do you want to have a brick and mortar? Do you want to have a storefront? Why not both? You want to start with one, but why not have both? Barnes & Noble does. Mm-hmm. Apple does. You know, they have their store. They have the store and they have the storefront. So it's not either or. It's both. So it does come. It comes from a mindset. It comes from a mindset.
Okay.
Yeah, on that. So, you know, you kind of have to think about also, too, when you think about what kind of business that you want to go into, I have in one of my little questionnaires as to which business arrangement looks attractive to you. Do you want to be the sole owner? Do you want to be the sole owner? You don't have to answer to anybody. Nobody has to answer to you. You don't have to worry about conflicts or anything. So if you want to be the sole person on that door, then probably, you know, a solo project would be good for you. If you like to work in groups or you don't mind working in a quote-unquote partnership, then maybe a partnership is a good way for you. You know, you guys work off of each other's strengths, if you will. You know, if you've got two or more people. You know, there's strength in numbers, you know, as far as, you know, putting your head together. There's strength in numbers where money is concerned, you know, that kind of thing, and risk is concerned. So it can be an option for you, you know, in that instance there. So that can also to kind of help you with, you know, what kind of business you want to go into. Because, you know, again, strength in numbers, maybe you can start on a larger scale than you would maybe by yourself. You know, I like being a solopreneur. I love it. My sister and I are best friends, and every time we try and go into business with each other, it doesn't turn out very well. We end up not speaking with each other.
And that's what I was going to ask you next, because, you know, you're talking about partnerships, and I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts about family, going into business with family, especially like a spouse? You know, what are your thoughts about that?
It works well for some, and it doesn't work at all for others. You have to be able to separate the two. You have to know when to turn off. We are partners in this business to husband and wife. You have to learn how if we've disagreed on whether the sign should be 6x12 and purple as opposed to 9x12 and green.
Mm-hmm.
When you decide, okay, it's 5 o'clock, it's time to go home and have the macaroni casserole, then we need to leave it at the door. We need to leave it at the door because a lot of times when the web gets very much tangled, you don't know where one begins and the other ends. And, you know, you don't want one to be the cost of the other. As far as family members are concerned, same thing. You know, my sister and I, you know, when we go out and we hang out with each other, we can be equals, and then there becomes a time when it becomes business. For some odd reason, she becomes very superior. Now, I've been an entrepreneur a lot longer than she has, and I'm a numbers person. She's an IT person, two different things, you know. And so where we've come, and she's a little more emotional about businesses. You know, she gets the ooh-shiny. I call it the ooh-shiny moment. You know, where people come in and say, oh, you know, if you get this, this is the best thing since sliced bread, and if you buy this, this is going to make your business $1 million. And I'm like, right, okay, show me
ooh,
the money.
Shiny.
You know, because I'm on, yeah, the ooh, shiny moment. Oh, yeah, we all have those. We all have those ooh, shiny moments where we get distracted and something gets glittery and it's cute, and, you know, but you have to start thinking about, you know, and again, because I'm an accountant, I look at that ooh, shiny and go, okay, that ooh, shiny cost $50,000. Now, how many business plans do I have to do to pay for that before I even make any money? Before I get on that, you know, that kind of thing, other than all this cuteness, kind of, you know, you get the glamorization of it. So, you know, as long as, you know, with those different personalities that, you know how to keep it in perspective, it can be fine.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I will say about a partnership, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, is that before you start the business, always think about how you're going to get out of the business. I say that with anyone that counsels with me, and there's going to be two or more owners. Always go into it the same way with a mindset of how do you get out of it. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. What if you have a rich uncle? You know, my last name is Darden, and you know the Darden restaurants, which is Red Lobster and Olive Garden and all that. And
Bahama Breeze.
I'm still trying to
General
find a family
Mills.
Member. I'm still trying to find a family member. Nobody will play me. I'm still
Carrie
trying to find a
crazy.
Company. Serious. You're so crazy. Nah, ah, ah, ah. You know, as Medea say, ha ha hell, but you know.
I'm trying
to find family members. So with that being said, so with that being said, you want to think about, what if I found a rich old Darden? I always say I would love to find a rich old Darden, open up the unclaimed property, and the first person who can prove that they're a Darden gets this $50 million. Okay, but until that happens, so if that happened today, and the three of us on the phone here today were going into a business, how would we get out of it? And again, in a good way. Ladies, I love you, but I never have to work another day in my life. So how do we dissolve this partnership? Do I cash out what I put in? You know, if we decided we were going to split everything, you know, by one-third, then do we split it by one-third of the original amount? Or now that this is a billion-dollar business, do we do it that way?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we have a practice. We have some type of coaching practice. How do we dissolve the company? Do I take the clients that I brought into the business with me and the two of you do the same thing? Or, again, do we split our clients up? So it's not, like I said, it's not a bad thing. It's just you want to think about that in the long run. Somebody may move to another state, whatever the situation is. So that's really a good way, if you can agree at the beginning how you get out of it, because you haven't earned anything in the business yet. I think you're on a good start.
Definitely. And that's a great point, that I think many of us get so caught up and excited about an idea. You know, we sit for a ladies' night, and we're like, hey, guys, I'm starting a business next week, and we're all gung-ho about it, and we never think to stop and to really plan this out, to seek legal counsel, and then 6 months down the line, there's some issues. And I have a friend of mine that's going through the same thing right now. She and two of her friends decided to start a business, and they're running into some major headbutt issues, where they're to the point where they want to scratch each other's eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just want to claw eyes out. And they don't know how to dissolve this. And that's why I know one thing that I've learned before is, you know, when you're going into business, it's not always in your best interest to have equal shares in the business. But, again, you have to seek legal counsel to know how to go about setting up the business, like you said, and how to dissolve the business should anything happen later on down the line. So
absolutely.
That was great. And as I said earlier before, you know, I asked a lot of questions about the franchise piece because I did go ahead and take your self-employment test that you shared with us. And I'm not going to go into detail about it because those that are listening would need to go ahead and contact Sherry Darden for some consulting to deal with this test. But we were fortunate enough to be able to take it, and it came back to, like, glaring that I was a franchise candidate. And I'm not completely surprised, but I'm a little bit surprised because I really thought I would have leaned a little closer to that complete entrepreneur scale, and I was really smack dab in the middle of the franchise piece. So I'm kind of hurt a little bit, but I believe you and I trust you, so I'm trusting it's accurate. So I guess at this point, since we know Sister Big Bone promises up and down that she's not interested in a franchise, we couldn't go into business together, sis. So you just have to
work
business
for you
before we even got started.
but here's the thing I want to say. It's never hardcore, you know, you have to have a franchise. Here's what it's going to say to you. It just wants you to identify your comfort level. So what that means is your comfort level is you want some structure. You want some structure going in. You kind of want a little bit of a guarantee of I need some help on something. And that's okay. Then that what that means is you would either maybe look at an existing business, you know, where you've got somebody who can help you and say, I've been there, done that. You get a business coach. You know, it doesn't mean you have to do a franchise. It just means, you know what, I think I need some boundaries here.
Yeah, sure,
I don't want to
go
off. Yeah, absolutely. And just identify that and just make sure you plan accordingly. So it doesn't mean you have to have a McDonald's. I hereby absolve you having to have a McDonald's.
Well, Sherry, we are all out of time. And, again, I mean, look how fast the time goes by when you're here with us. But thank you so much for joining us tonight. Why don't you go ahead and let the listeners know how they can get in touch with you and be able to take advantage of all these great services that you're offering your clients.
Okay, if anyone is interested in that entrepreneur profile of what kind of business is for you, whether it's franchise, partnership, that type of thing, you can check out my website at sherrydarden.com, that's S-H-E-R-R-Y-D-A-R-D-E-N.com, or thebusinessplanlady.com. So you can either do one, either one of those. And if you go to the website and just if you want to email me and say, please give me the profile test, I'd be happy to email that to you.
All righty. Well, thank you again for joining us tonight. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in and joining us as well. You're welcome. Make sure you check out the replay, Mindshift Talk Radio. You guys have another amazing, phenomenal, blessed week. And make sure that you're here every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific with Stacey Emery and Juanita Sista Big Bones Morton. You guys be blessed. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Good night. God bless. Bye.
Bye.